So let's just delve right into it. Why not 2024 Main Street? Thank you for coming in.
Yes. Thank you for having me. Julie asked that I come and go through a couple of agreements that we have that we're going to give to you guys to consider and answer any questions you may have about them. So I'll just dive right in, unless anyone has anything to start. There's two agreements. One is ARS for us. That one will include the water line, replacing and upgrading the water lines from Hart to Fort Street, and then sanitary sewer and water services for any residents that would like to do that. That also includes replacing a 66-inch storm sewer that runs by the Outback. I think that the city crews kind of fixed outside of the right-of-way last year. This would include replacing it all within underneath the road section because it's in pretty poor shape. And that is what is encompassed in this ARS agreement.
Can you just tell us what ARS is?
The authority to render services. Basically, it's an agreement that the city can get into with YDOT to tag onto a project and do the work at the same time that we're doing work. And it's fully funded by the city and ARS is. So that, like I said, that does include design work by a city's consultant. I believe Nelson's on board for doing that design work for those items. That includes him getting us information so we can get it to bid. And then the only other thing, I guess, other than a bunch of the legal stuff, would be the current cost that's in there. In the exhibit B on the back side of that agreement. Currently, the total project cost, if you add in construction, preliminary engineering, and then construction engineering, and then we do include the indirect cost allocation plan, is 11% of the total cost. The total project cost to the city is estimated at $1.9 million, just under $1.9 million for those items. And those gets updated as we go through the design.
It'll be water reserves for the water line.
So it'll be split up to our enterprise funds.
Yeah.
Is the design complete?
The city is designing that through their consultants, so not yet.
It's ongoing. But we did talk about deadlines and
yep.
Project schedules, so we'll meet those
yep.
deadlines with YDOT.
This agreement requires some submittals to us throughout the design phase to make sure, because basically what we do is we have our plan sets, we insert the city's plans right into ours, and then bid it with ours. And then with this one, after the bids are opened, we ask for a letter of concurrence from the city that they concur with the bids, how they came in, and proceeding with the project. And then at that time, we update the costs and the exhibit.
Send it to you.
And go forth. So.
Today.
So what are
we send it to you
the
today.
Bumpers,
I will
whatever
send it
you
to you.
Call them, you was telling me about these
bump outs.
The bump outs, right. So that's not part of this ARS agreement, but they are bump outs at the Angus Street and then down here by the bridge. Basically, it's just where the curb comes out and protects those parked cars, allows more room for pedestrians to do ADA ramps and things like that.
Hell on me.
Hell on you. So,
how far do they stick out into the street?
It depends on the design, and we have not designed those yet. So, but I know Les has asked for some examples and dimensions and things like that.
I was just wondering about drainage. How do we need to drain?
The curb's designed that way to still flow to the inlets, or we move inlets to make that work.
It's going to be great.
And that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, you're not running late.
That's all under YDOT's design. So we'll design those and pay for those. Those come with us.
I see.
see in your bid for the IRS, the $74,000 for engineering. What if you're slapping our plans into your plans? What is that all about?
Right. So the 5% is just a standard for these agreements. Oh. And the, you know, the engineering will be done, designed by them. We do review them and make sure they correspond to our bid items. And then we do bid that. And so we have to have advertising, job showings, bid lettings, things like that. Those costs are covered under that. But the actual design work would not be.
Well, I remember when Casper had downtown, I don't know what that street is, and they put those bump outs. They just finally took them out, didn't they?
I don't know.
They were such a pain.
That came from the judge. No,
the reason why I said that to you. Isn't
it's just my recollection.
Okay. Judge Kerwin. Question on that agreement. And like I said, it up until that point of a letter of concurrence after the bids, the city can choose not to do this work. But anything that was built to that point does get billed to the city for reimbursement. So, questions on that one? The other agreement would be for the CSA, the context-sensitive amenities. That basically, the city has chosen to use those funds provided by YDOT federal funds for tree removal and replacement along Main Street from Bennett Street to Fort Street, and then the installation of new street lighting from Holland to Bennett Street. This agreement, like I said, YDOT does provide some funds for that, and that's outlined in the exhibit. And this agreement also does have a little more language in it regarding maintenance of those facilities because YDOT does not maintain those. So there's some more language in there regarding who maintains what if something happens with them, which would be the city in this case here. The cost for those, same type of deal. This is designed by a consultant and then handed to us, put into our plans. And the costs currently are... total project cost $362,000. YDOT provides federal funds for $174,000. And then the city matches those funds at 9.5%. And then the overmatch, the 9.5% is about $18,000. The overmatch would be about $170,000, which would be the city's responsibility.
That's just for trees and streetlights?
Correct. And it does have some of those, so that has estimated construction costs in there, preliminary engineering, construction engineering, and then our indirect cost allocation plan, the 11%. So.
Trees on the sidewalk, like we have, is that what we're...
Basically, we got it designed now just to remove and replace exactly where they are.
I know at that public hearing, there a lot of people were talking that they don't want to remove all the trees, just remove the few bad ones and replace them selectively, because if we remove them all, put new ones in, we're 20 years before we get shade again down there. It'd take forever for them to grow. That's a couple of people from the tree board had mentioned that just maybe have them consult with them to see what, there are some that are too big and need to replace, but I don't know if all of them need to.
Has the tree board talked about the trees at all? Do they have any solutions?
I know Paul Schumann spoke up at the meeting. There are a couple other people on the tree board. He was going to try to get a meeting together and just to talk about it and get a game plan to see what get, because that was 4 or 5 years ago when I first got on council. The state forester went down with us and inventoried all the trees we had somebody come in and trim them, but they haven't been trimmed for a few years, and that was, but I don't know, that's something we need to just look at and see, keep on the radar to see what, so there's a few of them that aren't bad. The one in front of AMB Bank is, it's a nice size, and it's, but all of them should be that size, and it's the only one that's not in front of a building. But I don't know.
break, they're going to keep growing, breaking sidewalks. If you don't take one out and you leave one, it's eventually going to do the same thing to the sidewalk.
And most of a lot of that sidewalk damage is when they put the street lights in that added that concrete. But I don't, because when we looked at it a few years ago, there wasn't, they decided that there isn't that much sidewalk damage from the tree itself.
So, Isaac, with these two agreements, I'll have Dennis review them, but as far as you're concerned, unless they have things that need to be changed, they're ready to go to council tonight for...
Yes, they're definitely ready on our end unless there's anything that comes up during the review that you'd like us to...
And as you said, they can be amended up until we go to bid, maybe.
Yes, they can be amended as far as the costs go, correct.
But if we would pull the trees out or pull
the water line or whatever? The water line definitely is just a reimbursement. The CSA agreement for the trees and the lights, that does have federal funds to it. So we basically, there's no concurrence with that. It's just part of our project, and then we build a city for it. But you can definitely reduce that scope down to whatever you like, or increase it to whatever you like.
That's probably not.
Your overmatch just reflects that. So, but yes, we can. During the design, you would talk about what trees stay, what go. Maybe they all stay. Maybe they all go. Or the lights change. Yes. And that is the question we've gotten most from our last public meeting. With regarding the trees also, which is fairly common. So
they'll hopefully be on the agenda tonight, unless Mr. Kirgan...
Well, I'll get on it, Julie. I'll be there.
Cool.
Sure. That
there you go.
Started right now.
They're right there.
What a bonus. So that tree in front of my apartment, it's got to be almost as high as my building. The one that's in front of the 4th and Main. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a bigger tree down there, but...
Do you like it? Kind of impedes your view of the parade, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, and if anything's going on the bridge, I can't quite see through that tree. So a shorter tree would be nicer.
Sounds like a nuisance to me.
Fake trees would be really nice. Fake trees.
We'll wait till Ace puts her Christmas trees on.
Palm trees down there. Fake palm trees.
Okay.
Yeah, the next item on the agenda was municipal water supply meeting, which was Councilman Camino, which...
Might be later, so
we'll go on. Then Trails Board letter support for Wyoming Conservation Corps grant. We just did a letter support, and it's just for the projects on the trails and so forth. And I have it.
Is there a match to that grant?
I don't think. Anything can change them. But... just a letter of support for them to apply for the grant. That's the only other thing, and now Councilman Camino's here to talk about his portion.
Maya.
You're up. We stalled. We talked about Dennis's tree for a while.
Very nice. Sorry, I'm late, guys. I had a second kid.
Just municipal water supply meeting up
there. Oh, yeah. We had a good group of people get together a couple weeks ago. Maybe Julie, maybe you could help me. Who all was there? Both the Daves. And the
Dave Comerly, Dave Schroeder. And what is his? Where did Amelia work? I don't know what. The ditch rider.
Yes.
Jake Wright was there.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Byron, Terry, myself, you,
Wes,
and Luke.
And Luke Todd. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, we discussed some of the things that I've been hearing concerns of, especially particularly with the water running through town, the water flows running through town in the middle of the summer. And just trying to see if there are some options or things that we can do to maybe mitigate that, or if we need to start looking for an alternative water source now for future growth and things. We're going to just see what options are. I know there was a study done 10 or 15 years ago that laid out a couple of different options that were pretty expensive. But we know that those things are just going to continue to get more expensive, and if we're going to continue to grow, we need to think of those types of things. So it was a really good conversation and really went a little differently than I anticipated. Dave Schroeder, he was actually the one that did most of the talking, and he suggested, you know, if we're having issues with wanting to keep water flows going through Buffalo the way they are, our best bet and cheapest bet is to try to go buy water rights from local ranchers. And they gave a couple of different options and ideas as to how you could go about getting that done. But as far as trying to keep the CFS up through the downtown area in Buffalo, they thought that might be one of the easier options to pursue. But there were other talks of other sources. I know the Madison Well, which I don't believe is an option anymore because Fiji Water purchased that, and so I don't know that that's an option. But there's also talk of pipelining from Lake Desmet, or even putting something below our water treatment plant to either pipe the water back up around or back down to us. So anyway, it was just a really good preliminary conversation. Nothing set in stone by any means. We were just trying to get some people together. We're scheduled to meet after the holidays are over, just to kind of pick it back up and see what kind of options are out there. But wanted to give you guys all an update as to what we met about and why we met. So, any questions?
I was just going to add that it sounded like Zach Byron has a program, or maybe some cost share money to do some xeriscaping, like to encourage that, and we kind of brainstorm maybe the city should start with some of our own stuff that we're watering a lot of, and maybe, you know, we can leave the trees. Maybe some of the grass could be hardscaped somewhere.
Yeah, thank you, Julie. I forgot about that.
And then it would be, depending on not, I didn't quite understand all of this funding, but maybe landowners could also cost share with them to change some of their, which was a difficult conversation to have because he said, I'm a lawn man. I like to mow the lawn. And but it was just a great meeting, I think, to talk about how dry it is here and where the best use of water is. And if we do grow, I mean, we can handle our growth right now, but you guys as elected officials need to be looking to the future and just mindful. Mm-hmm.
Does all of the stored water in Ty have to be used in the summertime?
Sorry, no, it does not. The issue is the city of Buffalo only has six CFS that we can pull out of there, and that there are people above us with older water rights that can really drain the water that actually flows through Buffalo.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. But no, there is still water up in Tyhack, and they monitor and release that accordingly. But
what about, did they discuss the Bull Creek Reservoir?
A little bit, yeah, and that had some ungodly price tag on it. I know the last time it was brought up and mentioned. And to be honest, I don't fully understand that project, Dennis, but it sounds like it could be very beneficial, but maybe not to the tune of $100 million. And so they thought there were just some more economical solutions out there, you know, simple solutions where Buffalo State's buying up water rights, or some of these ditch companies that are around, maybe we start working with them to invest on updating the infrastructure that they have in place. I know the ditches, a lot of the ditches are in some rough shape and have a lot of leakage and shrinkage, so a lot of the water never actually makes it to their destined owner. And so, you know, maybe it comes down to working with some of these ditch companies around town to improve the infrastructure of their ditches so that we can save water instead of letting it seep out. That's all I had. Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry, Mike.
Any questions for Councilman? Department heads, Kevin. We've lost one and replaced one, right?
Yep.
So Sergeant Marbury is now with Gillette PD.
Gillette PD, yeah.
And we've replaced him with an officer.
Josh Carswell. He moved here from Washington State. He's got 14 years experience.
So he'll be, correct me if I'm wrong, but he'll be able to challenge the academy for his post certifications and
nice.
Unfortunately, I always have to talk about money, and that'll be a savings instead of having a to send somebody fully through the academy. What's kind of what's the academy cost? Ballpark it?
2,000 ish.
Julie.
So the Kiwanis put up the Christmas lights downtown, and then some of them weren't working, so we worked with Chess Road to get them all working, and our parking lot lights here that hadn't been working since before the Monster March. And as we were doing that, then we decided it was time to change the summer banners that were hanging downtown. So thank you to the street crew for giving up their time and coming and helping change those out. It looked nice, and it was a quick flip in time for the Christmas parade. And then, so our city code with liquor licenses, I think we all understand that liquor sales can happen, it says, from, it is what, 6 a.m. until 2 a.m., and then they have to close the building from 2 a.m. and remain closed until 6 a.m., and then it says, except for Sundays, that such places may open the licensed building on Sunday no earlier than 10 a.m. So we interpret that as you can't get a Bloody Mary in town until 10 a.m. You can't have it at 9 o'clock. But there are restaurants that they sell food. Well, now I have some of the business owners saying, this says I can't open my building until 10 a.m. And I don't think that was ever the intention. That was, you could still, we're not regulating their food sales, but the way this is written. So I'll give that to Dennis, too.
So what's the thought behind the 10 a.m.? What's the difference on a Sunday?
I don't know. It was...
That was just...
been that way forever.
Probably the custom.
You can't have a drink on the election.
It's been that way forever.
You know, I have a church. You can't
have a church. No, I mean, there used to be those laws.
To keep people sober to go to church.
It's the only way you get in
there. And years ago, it was new to... noon to 10 on Sundays, and that was, I think the county
shared and still
6 to 7 days a week.
So the but what's the point? I mean, I don't understand.
The problem is that they want to say that they can serve food before 10, but not the booze.
It's just the thing that they can't open the building. That we need to treat that.
Oh, okay. To clear the license.
I think it was just back in the old.
The hours of sale of alcohol can be restricted to 10, but anyway, and then the last thing I have, I just got it in my email, and I'm sure you guys probably could too, or council, and I can share it with department heads. Dave Frazier from the WAM office sent out an email on legislative update. I haven't read through it yet, but I just saw it this morning. And that's all I have.
Any questions for the clerk? None. Judge.
Well, I have, I need a new receptionist. I lost a receptionist yesterday, so I'm just putting the word out. I need somebody.
But don't look at Julie.
Or if you call up there, I'm going to be answering the telephone. And I can't take notes, so it's bad. Insurance purposes, I of course carried malpractice insurance, and then I associated with Davis and Cannon, and I need to have my salary paid to Davis and Cannon per my insurance provider, and so I talked to Julie. I want to present a contract for professional services instead of me getting my monthly salary. It'll go to Davis and Cannon, and they'll pay the money to me. Silly, but it's going to be. I'm going to bring that. I don't know if I'll bring that up tonight or not. Julie, I've got the draft of it.
Okay.
That's all I have. And did you get that fence thing straightened out with the Mattis?
No, we haven't yet. But I got all the information you sent me in the meeting minutes, and so I forward that on to Mr. Thorson. The only thing in question is the if that's Exhibit A, just that one drawing with the line on it, that or if there's an actual exhibit with heights and designs and stuff like that. So we're still kind of looking for that. But I think the issue is he thinks it shouldn't be locked. We're willing to unlock it for whoever wants in there, I guess, is what Les tells me. He'll go up and unlock it. So I don't know. There's some issues there. If it's public lands, why is it locked? Why is there no access gates in places to go in and out? Because it's such a tall fence that you have to walk so far to get over a shorter fence type of deal. So, so I think that's Mr. Thorson's thing, is he just doesn't think it should be locked because it's public access, public land.
Whose lock is it?
It's our lock, I believe.
Where is it at?
Up on by the diversion dam, not the tall fence.
It's got a BLM lock and our lock on it.
So two locks.
It's got two locks on it. Mm-hmm. And there's people that's got the damn key to it that have been going in and out of there all hunting season.
Not me.
Yeah, somebody. That three keys got passed around a lot.
So maybe we change the lock.
I've talked less about that just this week. But
that's his argument, is why is it locked? First place.
Well, don't we have to protect our, is it, how about the water supply?
So is this a citizen complaint about why is it locked? You know, the Forest Service locks gates up on the mountain all the time.
There you go.
You know, there's a little, right before you get to Dolknife, there's a gate you used to go through and it's locked.
Is it just for motor vehicles? If he's talking about being EMP, I can see that they should have a key in case somebody has an accident up there on that walking path. There's a lot of people that walk it. I can see why that Arnold should have a key so they can get in and out of there. But why Joe Blow has a key, that's
we have a master key.
That'd be good luck getting it out of that one.
Heavy girl, right? Okay, so that's an ongoing.
That's ongoing. It's just more of a complaint, but I've got them. There was an agreement made, and Mr. Mattis was allowed to construct the fence. It's just, I think, more the issue of the lock and not having access in and out of there. So.
Didn't we brought the agreement. I mean, we pushed him to put that fence up.
For the axe.
Because they were getting it into
They were chasing everybody around the creek.
And then it was just too steep to build it up on his property. That's why it came down on our property.
But your copy, did you find the signed copy of the agreement, Julie?
No. We haven't.
No.
I'm sure we haven't.
We're going to get the AMAs out last week, so we're looking for that and that Exhibit A.
There's an exhibit that I didn't have.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I had.
Mr. Juber.
said that the Rocky Mountain Power is working on the lights out there on Flagstaff and Cinema Drive, Flatiron out there, and we got a 16-inch water break on our main, one of our main lines coming into town. We're going to work on that today. Get that done. What else is there?
Are we ready to award the bid for the alleys or not?
So I'm not going to be, unfortunately, tonight's meeting, but I can go over that if you want. So we bid the alleyway project Friday, and we had four bidders that bid it. The low bid was $304,595 through Five Barn Construction. My bid was just over $572,000, and the other two were kind of in between there. Engineer's estimate that I had was from last year was at $362,800, so I was second. I wasn't the low.
Okay.
Thank goodness. Considering prices, I was all right with that. I went through the bids. All their numbers checked out. They met all the bid requirements that they needed to for the project. So that was going to be my recommendation. I'll draft a letter today and send it to Les. And I'll CC Julie on as well. That Barnum be the recipient of the alleyway project with the $304,000.
That's scheduled to start what, April, May next year?
So we didn't put a number of days on that project with the notation that it would be a spring start. It'll start weather pending next spring. And so those are from the post office to the creek, and then on the other side from the come and go back to the creek, and then the alley here behind.
Dennis gets a new driveway.
Yeah. Or at least a
portion. Sure, well, not that while it's growing.
It's an ice skating rink right now. You could put ice skates on the back up there and go all the way down the creek, and you end up in the creek. You couldn't stop.
I'm not saying we're fixing the skating rink. We might make it more of a bobsled.
Put a jump
in there. Ski jump.
Yeah. We'll put a loose course in for you.
We could put a ramp at the end so you clear the rail.
I like that.
Clear the rail and end up in the box in the backyard. It would be nice if it had a storm drain down it.
Yeah. It would be nice to have a storm drain down.
It would save a lot of ice in that alley.
Because it doesn't get any sun back there because the buildings and just the ice is back there.
Every one of the buildings was drained to that alley.
Oh, yeah. It's the trees. It shows the sun.
Yeah.
Terry, anything else?
We, planning and zoning, is recommending approval of the annexation of the Bighorn Co-op. So we'll be advertising that. It won't be at tonight's meeting, but the next council meeting, that'll be in front of you guys. So I'll send you the staff recommendation on that and the agreements that Dennis has drawn up for that. Deer Park, we're waiting on that. They're going to reapply for a rezone on that before we move through annexation. So I'm thinking next planning and zoning meeting, that'll be possibly, well, it won't, it'll be January's meeting when that'll be on the agenda for rezoning for that, and then we'll move for annexation and rezone at the same time. Other than that, GIS, Interstate Engineering, they've basically completed phase one of our agreement with the GIS system. So I know street crew and the water guys, they're going around looking at they've got access to it on their tablets. So we're just looking at the infrastructure, kind of seeing what's right, what's wrong, if anything doesn't look right, things that are missing, and kind of tabulating a list of things that can be added. So I'd like to see us continue that before next year. So
not budgeted.
I know. I know it's not budgeted, but it'd be nice to roll into phase two, and so maybe something to look at.
What about the capital improvements plan?
Capital improvement plan's coming along. They've been Lane Thompson with Interstate Engineering and Brent Moore have been in town visiting with Les, myself, going over future infrastructure projects that need to be put on that, our buildings, our other stuff like that that need to be part of that. So that's coming along. They've got started on that. It's a good start, and you'll be seeing something out of that before long.
Brent, you give us your info?
Pretty much the alleyway, and you know, did you work with Rocky Mountain Power to get that lighting stuff done on better? We provided them with some layout stuff so they can keep moving on in the right direction on that.
Okay. Councilman Camino.
The only thing I was going to mention, I attended the Predator Control Board meeting yesterday. They had their annual meeting, and they were very appreciative of the increased funding that we provided them.
I'm sure
it's helped them. Yeah, it's helped them out a lot. Sounds like they got some good things going on around the city of Buffalo and also the city of KC, and they're extremely busy out in the county. I did bring up the turkey thing and quickly found out that that is not under their umbrella, that we need to work with the Game and Fish and the police department to figure that issue out. So, but I did want to let you know that the funds that we did distribute to those guys are being used appropriately, and they were appreciated.
Any more? Oh, no, never mind.
Nope.
Councilman Hart, your turn. Last department head meeting. Stop smiling, man. Councilman Madsen.
Big old smile. Yeah, just one thing for Larry. Did they get the water line break fixed under the creek?
No.
Okay. But yeah, I haven't even paid attention for a couple of weeks.
It is approved by DEQ.
Okay. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Are they going to bore it then?
Right now, it's approved as a dig across. So this is was a plan at that time, but I mean, it's approved. So whatever way,
whatever method.
Where
is it?
After by going from Colonel Wilson's to Dustin's, there's a water line that goes under the creek there.
And, yeah,
that should be a July job.
But we just have that shut off.
We got it shut off.
There's no customers off in the water.
Nobody's out of water or nothing on it. Well, there is a terrace that's out right now, but we can turn it on. We can fix them anytime we want.
And we're upsizing that line when we do it?
Yeah, that was the reason I had to get the DEQ stuff up. It's a 6-inch line now. We're going to upsize it to 8-inch. So for just this one thing.
And then put it in the sleeve, I think.
Yeah, depending on what method we use, then we'll either sleeve it or whatever needs to be done there, and put new valves in and stuff so that
you can fix later.
Yeah, hopefully that won't have to revisit it in none of our lifetime.
Anything else, Scott?
I think that was it.
Okay. What I have is Keith Neustall has submitted a letter of interest for reappointment to the Planning and Zoning Board. Pool update we got at the last meeting. Be prepared for appointments for liaison for board representations starting in January. So, probably mix some things up with a new council elect coming on board to being council instead of council elect. January 3rd meeting will probably be lengthy. A lot of the housekeeping stuff as usual, first meeting of the year, the oath of offices for new members of council, reappointments, swearing in of department heads, and new vice mayors and all that sort of fun stuff. Senator Kinski is tentatively scheduled. He is the new chair of the Joint Appropriations Committee. So for you that will be here and not next door at that particular time, have some questions for him. He's more than willing to answer about what's coming up with Joint Appropriations and the new legislative sessions. And tomorrow myself and the chief will be in the attendance over at the Johnson County Courthouse. So, Josh Waitstra.
Oh.
What time?
Is it open to the public?
Yes, it's open court. So,
that should be fun.
Mr. Schultz gave us our invite to the county holiday party. Anything else?
Possibly no planning and zoning meeting this month with the holidays. The 27th, we have no applications for anything that needs motion or, you know, I mean, so to vote on. So possibly, well, let's say we're canceling the meeting for December at this point.
And I haven't heard whether there's anything pressing for the city county meeting since it's so close to the happy holiday season. So more to come on that. Press, cares, concerns, questions, gripes, complaints. Yeah.
Any wagers on who's going to get the clerk job? That's today.
That's today.
For those that are all excited about it, city employee meeting December 18th. Wasn't that the same year that?
Same year.
I mean, the same day that the other Mr. Curbin got mixed up by a lady.
He got the
wrong year.
He got the wrong year and showed it come the wrong date.
And then
Dennis is more on top.
Next department head meeting is January 3rd. So you may have.
Oh, I guess I do.
That's all I have.